hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, just do like I've done a lot of times. I just look down at my lap and shake my head. And like, you pick lint off your trousers. And like, hallelujah. When I was in college, I'd just, the professor would be talking. I'd just be doing, you know, just diddling, just doing. But it looks like you're taking notes. You know, Matt knows that. He's shaking his head. Yeah. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way, if you would, please. Father, I just love you. And we have an assignment here, and we thank you for it. And Lord, help me not to chase rabbits or go into too much of this or that or the other, but hear your voice and follow you. I love you, and I worship you. Thank you for this outpouring. I receive your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sunday was a wonderful day, wasn't it? And Augustine, you're here. And your lady's not with you. But you're here. Isn't that great? Whoa. As the teenagers say, he is representing. He's repping. His wife testified that she was supposed to had, they thought, maybe cancer, and they went through a whole bunch of tests and they couldn't find anything. We'd been praying for her, and hallelujah. It was like a volley Sunday. She stood up and said that, and then just seconds later, I thought it was like two pirate ships, cannonballs shooting it back. And Sister Callie Pearls got up and told about her miracle. Her son, 25 years, he had been gone. Left at the age of 20 and he's now 45, and she has not heard from him. She couldn't find him. She got a word from the Lord. I wish it had been my word that I give her. I hate to call Pastor Dave and tell him. By the way, October's coming up and there is a conference. And any of you that have not been before or have been before, I would encourage you to go. These are not happening that often. There's a conference in Tulsa. Pastor Dave Roberson. But anyway, when he was here, one of his last times, he walked about Center's church, she said, and wherever she was at, he said, you're going to hear from your son. And that's been a number of years ago that he said that, but he's totally been gone 25 years. They found him just this past week, I guess the week before. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? She wouldn't move. She wouldn't change her telephone number. She prayed for the day that somehow he would, you know, contact her, but what a miracle. And it was prophesied that that would happen. So glory to God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of this we've covered before. Actually, we've covered a lot of it before. But we're going to go into some more that we haven't. We're going to read these 40 verses and just talk as the Lord's will. Thank you, Father. Beginning in verse 1, we have here the faith equation. You know, if you're in school, they have those mathematical equations where they want you to, you know, understand the basic fundamentals before you can ever understand what this equals this. Well, here, this is what Paul or whoever you believe that wrote the book of Hebrews, we do know as a canonized book of the Bible, and we do believe it was from God. And he gives us the basic definition of faith. Now, faith can be termed a lot of different ways by a lot of different people, and you can put it in your vernacular. Well, faith is this to me. Well, that's wonderful, but it has to culminate, or it has to boil down to this simplicity. Faith equals this. Faith is the substance, two things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and basically it's saying the same thing. It's the substance and it's evidence. It's substance of things hoped for. The things in both of these, whether the evidence of things hoped for or the substance of things hoped for, the things are the things that you're believing God for. That's what you're wanting. The thing I'm wanting is God to heal my body if I was sick. The thing that I'm wanting is you know, God to touch my finances. If I'm broke, I'm believing God for Him to touch my finances. The thing I'm wanting is my son to come home if I haven't heard from him. in 25 years. He says here, faith is the substance. It's what? It's substance. This pulpit is something that you can see. It's something that you can touch. Otherwise, or in that wise, I should say, we call it something that is tangible. And something that is tangible usually registers to us as a substance. But here, faith, the faith that changes things, or the definition of faith that gets you something, whatever you're believing for, is invisible. It can't be seen. This can be seen. This pulpit can be touched. So usually we call something that can be touched substance. But here, faith is called substance, but we know that it can't be seen. Why? Because it's hoped for. And if it's hoped for, it means it's out there someplace. And by the way, hope is not here. It's not the wishful, boy, I just hope that comes to pass. You've heard people say, boy, I'm hoping. No, the word hope here is earnest expectation. Amen. It's a expectation like, it could happen any minute, Ralph. It could happen any minute. Whoa, let's go outside and see if it's happened yet. It may happen before I wake up. It may happen, you know, before the end of the service. I've got an earnest expectation. I mean, my money's on the line. My life's on the line. My hope is on the line. I really believe, so much so, that this thing's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. But it is invisible. It's in the same realm that God's in. God's invisible. That's why you get rewarded for it. Because you can't see Him physically. And faith can't be seen, even though it's a substance of the things hoped for. It's also the evidence. Same thing. He's saying basically, it's evidence. Now, usually evidence is something that's seen too. You know, if I tried to present the substance of faith in a court of law, and I was your standing attorney, and you were being tried for murder, your life was on the line, the invisible probably would put you, you know, otherwise in the electric chair if God didn't intervene. Because it's like, you got to have tangible, physical evidence or something they can touch and say, look, take the DNA off of this weapon here. You'll find that it's not my client's DNA. It's somebody else's. Wow, that's neat. That's evidence. Here, faith is evidence. Well, where's it at? Because you can't see it. Where it's at is in the invisible realm. It's in the heart. It's the evidence, meaning this. Are you in faith? Yes. Why? Because I've already got the evidence. I've already got it inside. It's inside. It's dwelling there to such a place that I don't care if you can't see. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you mock me for my stand of faith. As far as I'm concerned, I've got the evidence. It's already chewable. It's already drinkable. It's already tastable. It's already smellable to me because the evidence is here on the inside. Hallelujah. That's why I understand when many of you don't come to certain grace lines. That's fine with me. There's grace lines I don't go to. Not because I'm in rebellion. There's a point in which your faith crosses a line. And you've got the evidence on the inside of you. There's been times I've gone to grace lines. I've stood up when Pastor Dave, Timmer, I might walk forward with you as an evidence of my union, my solid, my strength with you, and say, I'm united with you. If you want to go forward in this, and, I'll throw in my hat in that sense of the word, because I don't want you to feel like we're divided on this. If there's like, who needs more of this? But I'm telling you, some of you, many of you, I've discussed this with a lot of you in your personal life, with your children, with this, that, and the other. It's not you're in rebellion. Your faith has crossed a line. You don't need necessarily a miracle service, which miracle services are great. You don't need a grace line, which certain grace lines are great. But your faith has gotten to a place that it doesn't need something else to be added to it other than your daily walk with the Lord and more of the Word of God. You've crossed the line. You've already got the substance. And it's almost like to you, just a little bit, to stand up in a grace line would be to say, this is against how I really feel. I've felt that way before, but I've went and offered my solidarity with other people to say, hey, I'm with you. We're in a union here and we're all in this together. If you felt like you need to get up, then I'm with you in this thing. But I'm telling you, if I never stood on this line, I'm there. My faith is there. The miracle's already taken place. Hallelujah. And that's true faith. It's an invisible realm. It's substance, but you can't touch it. Where's it at? It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. I think you just need to raise your hands and thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the example of faith here that we're going to read in these verses of Scripture are people that are not, now here's the amazing part, they're not born again. They're not born again people. They're OT people. Old Testament. Not overtime people. They're Old Testament people. They're not born again. And yet, God-inspired word said they were living in faith. Jesus said to the centurion, I've not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. Not among the Jews. You're a Gentile. And I've not. See, some people believe that you can only have true faith out of a new nature, out of a born-again nature. Now, let me tell you, let me clarify this. First of all, what we're going to see here is as we read this, that every example that is set forth according to faith are by people, like I said, of the Old Testament, who were not born again. They did not have a born-again nature. Everybody in the Old Testament, we're good on that. We know they were not born again. And if you're just catching up, see Kathy. Maybe we've got something called the born-again trail. He has given us an example. He does this for two reasons. One, he's talking to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And he wants to excite them in the faith of Jesus Christ. So he's going to use every example, every Hebraic or Hebrew example that he can find to solicit their faith and say, you looked at these guys as patriarchs, and they were, but they were looking to something else, and they were looking to the era in which we live in. They were looking to be perfected by us, the church. Secondly, one of the reasons why I believe that he shows all these of the Old Testament is to show us the true qualities of faith. I mean the true qualities of faith. And if you can catch this, you can begin to understand how it's going to take you to another place in your own private devotional life, and how God's going to use it to just edify you and exhort you and comfort you in the same way. I want to say this. I've kind of written it down, and the Lord may still have me revamp this to say it a little clearer in days ahead, because I was just writing this down this day today, but I want to say it like this for the time being. The strength of faith, or let me just say it like this, the muscle of faith, the strength of faith, the muscle of faith, which brings the thing to pass, whatever you're believing, remember it's the evidence of the thing, you know, it's the substance of the thing hoped for, the evidence of the thing not seen, it's still the thing that you're desiring, it's in the invisible realm. The muscle that brings it to pass, or the strength of faith, is not based upon the strength or the character of the one doing the believing. I mean, what reaches out and gets it is not based upon the strength or the character. Now, prove that, Pastor. I will in just a minute. Of the one doing the believing, but it's based upon the strength and character of the one who's bringing the thing to pass, meaning the source, meaning this, how big does your God get in front of you? How big does he get? One, we know this is true because all the Old Testament people were not born again. They did not have the strength of character of the new nature, and yet God rewards them according to their faith. Two, This may sound like a real redundant statement, but nevertheless, you got saved without a new nature. Think. You didn't have the faith that you have in your new nature now that got you saved. You were a dead spirit floating in an ocean of spiritual death. You may have, in your sense, you say, well, they love God. In that sense of respect, there are sinners that do respect God, but they did not have the agape that they got when they were born again. But the Word says, by grace, through faith, you were saved. Even when you had a death nature, even when you had dead man's faith, God accepted that faith to activate His grace and got you born again. Isn't that wonderful? That excites me because it tells me something. How much more is my faith now that I'm inside of Christ invigorated by the Holy Ghost? How much more? Oh, glory to God. How much more? You say, well, you know, I pray in tongues and I've got faith now that I've got a new nature. No. One day, wherever you were at, slobbering on that bar stool, maybe you got sober enough, say, okay, Jesus, I receive you in my heart. And that was faith. And it was all that was necessary. It might not have been raising the dead kind of faith, but it was all that was necessary to activate the grace to get you born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we do know that 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that we can edify ourselves in the Holy Ghost. That builds us up. Jude 20 tells us that if we pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, it doesn't say a lot, but it says if you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll build yourself up on your most holy faith. And it has a connotation. It goes to the next verse. It'll keep yourself in the love of God. We know all those things. We know that praying in tongues does a whole lot for us in our faith. But let's just go ahead and let me just say this. As we're reading these and we're talking about these elders, please take your religious cap off. Realize that David didn't know he was going to be in the Bible. Samson didn't know he was going to be in the Bible. All these guys didn't know at the time that they were going through what they were going through and acting. I'm convinced that these guys just thought, I'm just a, you know, regular Joe having a time with my flesh. They were amazed when God's finally, and some of them knew maybe by the end of their life, that they were going to be part of the canonization of Scripture. But they did not have the goosebumps and the emotions riding them and convincing them that what they were standing on, which was the Word of God, which was a substance inside of them that to everybody around them was invisible, they did not have the goosebumps to say, I'm doing this because I'm going to be talked about one day as one of the great patriarchs of God. They didn't have that. They just simply took the momentary faith, lived in the moment, and proceeded further based on their convictions in Christ. Hallelujah. So that's where we appreciate these people all the more. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And he's going to list all those elders. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, and we've covered this before, I don't want to rabbit trail this too much, but just say that this is not the word cosmos, which means stars, universe, planets, those kinds of things. This is eons, which is talking about generations. Through faith, we understand that the generations, I could say it that way, were framed by the Word of God, meaning the elders took the word that was spoken to them personally and changed their generation with that word. So that the things that are seen, meaning the things that actually are the keynote headliners, the headliners of their generation. What was the headliners of Samson? strongest man on the planet, killed all these Philistines. What was David's headliners? Loved God, became a messianic prophet, but he was a man after God's own heart. The big headliner in the start of his life was he killed a giant, and there's so many powerful, not just storybook implications in that, but it's very, very powerful. But those were the headliners. Those were the things. But those things that are seen were not made of the things that do appear. Meaning this, the natural physical substances that appear didn't create those headliners. Meaning it wasn't Samson's strength. He got it from someplace else. It wasn't David's agility on the battlefield. He got it from someplace else. He got it from the unseen realm. He got it from the invisible realm. And it's teaching us that there's a place where you and I, as New Testament believers, that's the next chapter. We won't get there tonight, but that's where we're at. And these are a hallmark of faith to show us something. So, by faith, Abel. And every time we mention one of these, you can say these people had an evidence on the inside of them. Whatever they accomplished, they saw it, they felt it, they touched it, they tasted it before it happened. Whatever their headliner is, Abel, what was his headliner? He offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated. This is one of the men in the Old Testament that was short-lived. I think he lived 300-something years when most were living 900 years. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You're talking about a friendship with God. Something kept rolling over in this guy's spirit. Even in a dead nature, he was loving God to the best of his ability. And by faith, he had an evidence that God was bigger than all of his surroundings. And one day God said, well, man, you know, you're just going to have to come up here with me for a little bit. And, of course, he did not. That's another teaching. He did not go to heaven. He wound up in Abraham's bosom. And that's a John chapter 3 teaching. We know where all Old Testament saints were held prior to Christ. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Number one prerequisite. You must believe that God is what? Not just in His existence. All Americans, most all Americans, believe that God exists. That doesn't mean they're walking in faith. That He exists in the light by which He is telling you in His Word that He exists. I am your healer. I am your deliverance. I am first your salvation. I am to you whatever my Word says that I am to you. You must believe that He is. And then the next thing is that you must believe that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And this we've covered before, and we're not teaching on this tonight. We want to read these verses. But obviously it's this. Number one, if you believe that He is your healer, I mean, if you're totally convinced, if you come to the place where your faith crosses a line and you say, look, I know. Michael O'Brien called me this week. I had him on my heart a few weeks ago, and he beat me to the punch. He was a pastor. He's now serving in another area, but he's from Canada. I think Matt and I met him one time before in Tulsa. And Michael called me, sweet, sweet guy. He had cancer, and it was he couldn't survive it. I mean, they operated once. They said, look, we got to go in. We found blah, 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 blah. If you don't have a second operation, we can just tell you, but this is no guesswork, you're going to die. The best we can do is go in and remove as much more as we can. There was a death sentence. He sat down, he prayed, he fasted. And I'm not saying this is everybody's conviction. I'm telling you an example of where this man went to in his faith. He believed that Christ was or is, meaning something inside of him saw the illumination of Scripture so strong that his faith crossed a line. In himself, he obtained the substance. Then The next thing says, must believe that he is. Secondly, is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Meaning this, if I believe, now there's nothing wrong with doctors, and I would go to one if I need one, and I have. But if I get a death sentence, and I have this choice, what would you do, Pastor? Well, I believe I know what I would do, but I haven't been put in that position. But Michael was faced with that position, and he has a wife, and he had a lot to live for, three beautiful kids, and they're all very successful people. He said, I sit down, I talk to my wife, I talk to my family. He said, this is the conviction of my heart. I'm not having another operation. I'm not. But he didn't leave it at that. See, there's where people leave it at. They say, okay, I've got faith. Jesus is my healer. I see it from the Word. But then, here's the deal, and excuse me, my vernacular. If you see that he really is, I mean totally wholehearted, then the second, and this is where I said, excuse me, the second part is you will have the guts, the intestinal fortitude to lay everything aside and say, I believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said, what did you do? Or I'm listening to this. Me and Matt are listening. He said, I set aside. Now, some people would have a hard time doing this, you know, and they have to work and they have to do this. But this is what but when you get down to life and death, sometimes it just, you know, really don't matter. I mean, I'm going to pay the bills for the next 6 months, but after that, I'm going to be gone. So, no, listen, this is life and death. I mean, you can throw out everything else. He said, I just went into my prayer closet. I believed that he was my healer. Secondly, I had to take the next part. He's a rewarder. I'm not earning this. I'm not buying it. Jesus has already done it. The person who's changing is me. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I said, what'd you do? Well, I went in 6, 8, 10 hours a day. Jesus, I call you my healer. I say, you bore in your body, Isaiah 53:5, you bore in your body my healing. By your stripes I am healed, 1 Peter 2:23. With your stripes I was healed. Over and over again he made his confession, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he lego or epo continues to say over and over again, laying the discourse of those things, continue to repeat them. You're not changing God because it's already done with him. You're changing yourself. Your faith is being built on what the image of the Word says. And he said, I'll confess that over and over and over. I don't know how long it took him. You remember? A year maybe? Something like that? Totally. And I had an opportunity to ask him the other day, and I knew he was. I said, man, everything's fine with... He always goes, my God, yeah, that wasn't even a... Totally, the diagnosis, no cancer. No cancer. And he's been totally cancer-free for years now. You know, for many years, many years. But here's the thing. Here's what a lot of people do. They'll say, I see it. And then, you know, I'm not going to have any more treatment or anything. That's okay. That's fine. But now you've made a commitment. You've towed the line. You better do the second part. You better do, because if you're going to run around and, you know, go to a bunch of movies and eat a lot of pizza and ha, 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 and he, 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 and you're not going to do that, please go to the doctor because you need help someplace. Because your faith will not go to the place of maturity that it needs to go to if you don't spend the time activating that part who sees it from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Man, I didn't mean to get off on that, but for some reason I needed to. But without faith it is impossible to please him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark as to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, Noah, build an ark. It doesn't even rain yet. Build an ark by faith. He moved in fear, the reverential fear of God. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place in which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Notice in most of these places where faith is activated, it is also obeyed. I mean, you've got to do something. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, and he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Physical? No, he was looking for something much greater. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, meaning she was gone past menopause. She had no more eggs. She could not conceive. But she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. And boy, if we had time, that's not the Jews, that's us. We're innumerable. Hallelujah. These all died in faith, not receiving the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and they embraced them and confessed. Woo! Come on, confession. Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say, look at that, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hallelujah. Even in the Old Testament, they were saying something. No, you're not Abram. You're Abraham. You're going to change your name. You're not Sarah. You're Sarah. You're the mother. I went through menopause a long time ago. No. You're going to have a child. Woman, oh God. He says here, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. You see any New Testament people here yet? Anybody in the New Testament? No. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. He had the substance. Listen, when you read this, I love this. He had a vision on the inside of him. He had something on the inside of him that was so strong. God said, this is going to be your seed. The seed that's going to perpetuate is going to come through Isaac. And he only had one. And then God takes him up to the mountain and says, kill him. You know what his vision was? You know what he received from God? He said, okay, two and two has got to make four. One and one's got to make two. God said the seed's coming through him. He has not impregnated a young lady yet. He's not only a kid. It's got to come through him. Even if I kill him, God will raise him up. Because this boy's got to have kids. That's faith. That's ridiculous. That's what Abraham had. He believed. He said, wait a minute. He ain't got no kids. If I cut his throat, excuse me, if he dies, God's going to put all this back together and he's still going to walk away from this place. That's faith. That's faith. And the guy wasn't born again and he didn't speak in tongues. Oh, Jesus. What was he acting on? An evidence of God's spoken word. I will raise it up through him. Of whom he said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to do what? Raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a vision, a figure. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and that he was not, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, remember, all these had an evidence of something inside of them that was not yet there. By faith, Moses, when he was, Moses, when he was come to years, he was actually 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. Christ wasn't in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, he was. Oh, yes, he was. All those patriarchs were looking to a day that Christ would come. Sacrifice. Even, have you ever thought about why was the rich man who was a Jew being rich? Jesus talked about There was a rich man, and he was in hell. He lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Being rich didn't send him to hell. That man probably sacrificed. But there was something about, even in the law, your sacrifice had to be concerning faith, and you had to be looking for a Christ to come. Hallelujah. Even in the law, there was faith. Even in the law, there was a level of faith. And he said that Abraham and all these guys and Moses was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasury of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what I'm talking about. That's where your faith is at also. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho, they were walking around. How many times? All these 7 days. What's going to happen? I don't know, but I know we got to keep walking. We got to keep going. By faith, the harlot Rahab, which of course was I like to preach on her on certain days. She was the great, 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 great grandmother of the physical body of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? This precious one that we talk about was conceived of a virgin, and he was. His great, great grandmother was a converted harlot. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. That's the love of Jesus Christ. Even then, the testimony was being testified. God saves sinners. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, I love it. Hallelujah. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall we say the more? For the time would fail me to speak of this. It's like he's in a church service and you guys are like getting up and going to the bathroom and you got to have a whole, man, how much longer? And I got to, we got my favorite show. Well, time's running out. So go ahead, Paul, tell us. Okay, time, what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah. These Barak and Jephthah was two famous Israelite generals. One was... Barak was during the time of Deborah, I think, and he was in cohorts with a great victory in Israel. And David, of course, needs no mention of as far as telling his great exploits. Samuel and the prophets, through faith they subdued kingdoms. Wrought, boy, this is wounding up here. You know, these are the big headliners coming across the screen here. They wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped. Now, who do you think he's talking about here? Stopped the mouth of lions. Daniel, obviously. I mean, he's got Daniel on his mind because, you know, the guys that lived, his contemporaries that lived right alongside of him were the next ones. They quenched the fire, the violence of fire. That's they commonly called the three Hebrew children or young men, teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Chaldean names, but that was not their Jewish names. It's too big for me to try to remember. But he said they stopped the mouth of lions. He's talking about Daniel here. He's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Nebuchadnezzar. Those guys, listen, they did not have, when they stepped up and said, Almighty King, for us, if God delivers us, so be it. But if He doesn't, know you this day. See, they didn't. See, we patronize these scriptures in a certain sense, but we make them religious because we think those guys had goosebumps. See, that's where our problem is. We who are spiritual feel like we have to have goosebumps to go forward in the things that are of faith. We believe sometimes we have to feel what we're doing or it's not working. In all actuality, if it's in the Word of God and you receive it, it is working whether you feel it or not. They didn't have the three of them standing there You know, when they said, we're not, how do you feel, guys? When Stallone called the guys and said, I'm making Rocky III, and he called the songwriters, and he had these two guys in mind. He knew they were famous. And he said, write me a song. I'm doing Rocky III. So they went in, and on an electric guitar, the first chord they hit was off. It was off of untuned strings, and it was, the eye of the tiger. I mean, that's how it was birthed. They didn't have, I'm back on the street, you know, and I'm feeling bad about myself, and, you know, they didn't have all the goosebumps, you know, and man, let's get it done. Let's get it. Let's man up in here. Come on. Let's put on another Rocky tune. They were like, there was no goosebumps. Dun, 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 dun. No, there was nothing. There was no band. The only band they had there was like, fall down and worship, or we're going to, you know, put you at the same time in the fiery furnace. It's nothing. See, the deal is this. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's a substance of something we can't see. Hallelujah to God. Glory be to God. A little bit more here. Quench the fire of the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Wax violent in fight. Turn the flight of the armies and of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to the life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yes. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. And some, you know, you got this whole, you know, expose of, you know, all those who escaped and won and fought. But then there were those who were stoned, sewn asunder, were tempted, were slain, and with a sword. They wandered about with sheepskin, sewn asunder. Isaiah, you can't find it scripturally, but historically, Isaiah was sewn in half. Sewn in half. They were sewn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, wandered about with sheep in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be perfect or come to maturity. And then he starts talking about that we are encompassed about by this great cloud of witnesses that lived out faith by a substance of the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And it wasn't something of the new nature, but it was something moved on by substance holding it inside of themselves. Now let me say this. If faith, and I hope that you understand this and would agree, faith is not an emotion. Faith is not a feeling. If it's not an emotion, or if it's not a feeling, then 1 Corinthians 14:4, when it says that I get edified personally when I pray in other tongues, what stops most people from spending systematic, ordered times in the Spirit praying in other tongues, the tongue for personal edification, is that many times and oftentimes they don't feel anything with it. What did you feel in this last hour? I didn't feel anything. So I'm not going to do it. Wait a minute. What does the Word say? The Word says that if I sit in that chair, per se, if I edify myself, or if I pray in tongues, he who prays in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he edifies, means he builds up himself. Jude 20, he builds up himself on his most holy faith. What does emotion have to do with anything that the Word says and declares by faith that you get edified in? Well, Pastor, I didn't feel anything. So it must have not been anything happening. Oh my God. You just got an hour to sit and feel nothing and to say, God, I thank you that I can really get ridiculous with this. Your word says, I just got edified. And I want to tell you, thank you, Lord. Even though I don't feel it, I'm edified. Because your word says I'm edified. I got built up. Well, where was the goosebumps? I didn't have any. Where was the eye of the tiger? Where was like the emotion that come on you like, I'm going to go get the world now and I'm coming out of this thing and I feel so much better. Did you feel that? No. No. But I just got edified. I'm working a plan inside of me towards the hour. See, when you're not convinced that the word in action or the word works, when you have to have something to stimulate your faith to make you believe the word other than the substance that you're holding on the inside of you, you'll give out. You say, well, Pastor, you know what? You talk so much on praying in tongues and prayer. Oh, sweetheart, I haven't even started yet. These past 10 years, I've just been getting my legs all stretched out for the race. I'm going to really, by the grace of God, really start preaching on prayer after a while. Why? Because he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Hallelujah. Meaning the more that I put into it, the more that I'm eventually going to get out of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Why do people quit? Because they have to feel it. Worship. Worship. I worship you. Let's just talk a minute just about some of these spokes. I worship you. I praise you. Private worship, not this corporate worship. I worship you. I worship you. Does the word say that he inhabits the praises of his people? It means he comes to dwell in the praises. What'd you get for that hour of worship? Did he come? Did you feel? And I love it. We are a spiritual bunch. We who love him. He wants you to feel him, but feeling him and experiencing the inspiration of something inside your soul, confirming it, is not the confirmation. It's the evidence of the thing not seen. And here's where Satan gets our faith. Many times we're waiting on something to confirm what his word has already confirmed. What do you feel? I didn't feel anything. Pastor, I really give up on private worship. I want to do something else because I didn't feel anything. Listen, if his word says he inhabits, then just get real silly, ridiculous with it if it helps you. Oh, Father, I want to thank you that I've sat here for these last couple of hours and I haven't felt anything. And you've been so sneaky. Because you said you inhabit the praises of your people. You're in here so much and you hid yourself from me. Aren't you something, God? You're just special. You're just so wonderful. Listen, if you think every time you're going to go into worship, based on the impasses that your flesh have to go through and based on the enemy that comes at you to debate your place that you have, that every time you're going to feel God in there, angels in there. Pastor, you do though, don't you? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes. One day you'll be where I'm at. Of course not. Of course not. Of course there are those times where just by faith, after a whole day or after a whole week, I get this rejoicing. Father, I thank you. I didn't feel you at all this week. But you're here because you said that you inhabit the praises of your people. And I praise you that I got the opportunity to put my big boy pants on and grow up and come to prayer even when I couldn't feel your presence. Oh, thank you for that, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's so easy to do it when... And I like those times too. Those are wonderful times. But the big boy pants come on when it's dry. And you don't feel it. Hallelujah to God. Well, what about confession? I like to confess the word. Mark chapter 11, 23, 24 says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, what did you, You confessed over your back for 3 hours, didn't you? What did you feel? It was stiffer than when I started. It was stiffer than when I started. But I got the opportunity with the one good arm to raise my hand and say, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you in the middle of this thing that your word is the substance. It's what I'm holding on to. And if I got to have a goosebump, then I'll never see revival, because goosebumps don't bring revival. Your word. Your word is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. Hallelujah. Well, what about that one that you just love so much? What about, I can't say it, fasting? What did you get? You went into some super. What happened after a week? Tell me, Pastor. What did you feel, Pastor? I felt hunger. My head was cloudy because when the glucose went down and the toxins went up, I didn't even know where I was at times. And I wasn't hallucinating or some spiritual place. I was just hungry. What did you get out of it? I got, according to Matthew chapter 9, I got a renewed wineskin. How do you feel? Did you feel the goosebumps when they come in your wineskin? No. All I felt was a desire for a cheeseburger. But I know that I'm getting a new wineskin. I know I'm getting one. Why? Because I have the substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not yet seen. By faith, if Abraham, David, Barak, if Samson and all of those could hold to something just because he said it, how much more by the new nature can I get in there and say, my God, it's not how I feel, but it's what His Word says. Glory be to God. I don't want those guys to walk by me in heaven and say, New Testament, Holy Ghost filled Christian. And he couldn't even get to church. Somebody offended him. They cut our heads off and we kept the faith. And we didn't pray in tongues. You guys had the third member of the Godhead living on the inside of you. Glory to God. Me too. That's not nice. They said, me too. I don't want David to look at me and say, boy. Say, Pastor, you talk so much on prayer. Listen, you know why. You know why. It is our heritage. It's the special ops. They go through things, maneuvers, thousands and thousands. They can perform the best that our nation has, the best that the Army has, the best the Marines, the Navy, the Air Force, the special operations people. They repeat it over and over and over again until they can carry it out in the dark. They can carry it out blindfolded. They know what each man is doing. They got each other's backs and they understand it. They say that you don't even know a language. You don't even start to assimilate a language. They say when you start to assimilate a second language, you've repeated it so much that you dream in it. That you start dreaming in it. Now, I don't know because I've never got that far. I know a couple of words, a few. But they say when you get so much ingrained in it and it's repeated so much and you're talking that you start dreaming and repeating back to people in your dream, that language is in you. When the Word of God is so strong in you, when a verse has become the substance of things, you act out of it without thinking. You don't even think about it. You've acted out of it and it's done. You're standing on it. Folks, we're special ops. We're not special people in and of ourselves apart from some special group. But we've chosen to go into a place where we repetitively go through the same operations over and over and over again, believing that the things that we're believing for will come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Whew. There's nothing new. There's nothing new to offer. And you know this. There's nothing new to offer. It's just perfecting what we know. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's just stand. Just worship God. We exalt You, Jesus. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord.